to the Lately in PHP podcast. This is episode 78, and as always, I have here with me Artur Sosins from Latvia to talk about PHP 7.1 and several other developments in the PHP world. How are you doing, Artur?
Hello. Yeah, but I'm kind of more of a JS guy now, so you're a PHP guy, so we can have preferences from both of the worlds.
Yeah, okay. We'll have the JavaScript podcast later as well. So now it's time to talk about PHP. There are several interesting topics. PHP 7.1 was released. So let me just share the screen here so you can talk about a brief summary of the topics. Now, the challenge is, which one of these thousands windows shall I share? That's probably
the correct one.
Yes. Is this okay? PHP 5.6?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so this month we are going to cover, as always, first, the latest PHP releases, starting by PHP 5.6.28, and the PHP 5.6 end of life is near. Not the exact end of support, because it will still have security bug fixes after 2017. We also covered just briefly some of the latest bug fixes on PHP 7.0, but the great news of the month, actually, in December 1st, it was released PHP 7.1.0. We'll talk a bit about what were the improvements, focus in particular those related with performance. And for that, there was another article that for now we just cover it briefly because it was published more recently. And we'll talk about it more in depth next month. But this article will cover how PHP performance evolved over time, not only from PHP 5 until PHP 7.1, but it already includes a preview what you can expect for PHP 8 or maybe PHP 7.2, because there is a JIT engine being developed, and there are some improvements that are already shown on this article. Then we start to cover the usual set of proposals for the next PHP version. There was a proposal here regarding comparing some value with an interval. There was some discussion, but there was no agreement on the what would be the best syntax for this that would not cause any conflicts with the current PHP syntax. Then we'll talk about a proposal regarding type locked variables. I mean, variables that once you assign them, you cannot change the type. You cannot change the value, but not the type. Then we'll talk about what is planned to be deprecated in PHP 7.2. I mean, things that will start issuing warnings if you are still using them. Because they'll be removed in future PHP versions. Then we'll talk about function overloading, which should be basically to be able to override existing PHP functions in the case using extensions. Then we talk about a proposal to improve the array iterator interface with a few more functions. And then we also talk about certificates that are being used for PHP to make HTTP SSL requests. So they start distrusting the certificates that use SHA-1 hashing. Then we talk about a proposal that will allow subclasses to not be required to declare type hinting for a function that is redefined. And then we'll talk about some more recent modern practices and in the PHP community that may that include not only things that only work on PHP 7, but as well the extensive use of traits and also packages that implement the PSR interfaces defined by the FIG, the Framework Interoperability Group. Okay, so now let's start from the beginning, on which we'll start talking about PHP 5.6.28 that was released a few weeks ago. It mostly fixes some functions that you should take a look in case you are using them. And also be aware that in December 31, it will be the last day for PHP 5.6 to have support. I'm not going to ask Arthur if you're using PHP 5.6 because I know that you are these days more a Node.js guy, but I wonder what in the JavaScript world it works like in the PHP world, or is it the same thing of planned versions that are being have the support stopped, or the plan is not so clear?
Well, for Node.js, it's more like Ubuntu style. You have a long time support releases, and some are not that are not supported. And currently, switching between versions, at least for our code, is quite easy and has no problem. But now I'm trying to check on my shared hosting what PHP version do they offer. And yes, there it is. Select PHP version, and natively they provide 5.3 PHP. So you see that The world is still falling behind.
Yeah, but that is the usual, because hosting people are always afraid of upgrading PHP versions, because they break the applications of their customers. Although it's their duty to upgrade their applications, most of them are not even not aware. Imagine all those sites running WordPress, and what the owners of the sites do not even know what PHP version they are running. If they know, they are running PHP at all. Anyway. We also have a somewhat similar set of bug fixes for PHP 7.0, and some are specific for PHP 7.0. And then the great news of the month is the release of PHP 7.1.0 that was finally launched on December 1st. And well, we talk about many of the new things in PHP 7.1. They are listed here, but I think the most evident thing that people want to know about PHP 7.1 or any new version is it any faster? Is it any secure? How does it go? So, more recently, there is an article in PHP Classes that evaluates the performance of PHP over the times. We are not going to cover this article right now. We'll get back to it next month to talk more about it in more detail. But there are two important things. According to this benchmark here, for pure CPU tasks, PHP 7.1 is 40% faster than PHP 7.0. And there is also a new experimental branch that implements a JIT engine on the top of PHP 7.1. And it is conducted by Peter Stogov and his colleagues at Zen. And they will be working on improving this. For now, it gives 50% of improvement on CPU tasks, but for real world applications, I don't have the results here. And hopefully next month, we are already have here because Christian that wrote this article will be working on need to benchmark, for instance, WordPress. It seems that for real world applications like WordPress, the gains are not so big. So there may be some improvements until PHP 8 or PHP 7.2 will be developed.
I just wanted to mention one thing quickly. On the same note of trashing hostings for falling behind so much, I just noticed again on my same hosting that natively they run PHP 5.3, but they allow to set other PHP versions, I guess in some kind of emulated environment where you can run your websites, and it's ranging from PHP 4.4 till the latest PHP 7.1. So they even provide the one that we just recently released, which I think is great.
Yes, well, let me check just something here because people are saying that they can't hear me on live streaming. I don't know if you can test it your other side.
Okay, let me try. So let me go to live streaming. Recording it is.
Yeah. Let's see.
So can you say something?
Yeah. I don't know if we'll hear this.
I hear you two times in both Hangout and live coding.
Yeah, well, it says that it is capturing both the microphone and the tab. So is it with echo or something?
No, it's normal. I'm just hearing it two times.
With delay?
One from Hangouts instantly and with delay on with coding website. So.
Oh, maybe you are listening two times. Not the people listening on live coding, because you are also listening to the Hangout.
Yeah, that's me exactly. I think they should hear only the live coding. Yeah, it should be okay. Really don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to find the windows here because there are too many windows here, and I have a microphone on in front. Okay, let's move on. So, am I still sharing the screen?
Yes.
Okay, so you can see the benchmarks, right?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, that's fine. So, anyway, we'll get back to this article because it will also be evolving, and then we comment about also the improvements that were done on PHP 7.1 in more detail. But basically, there are some improvements in including the opcode optimizer that gave this 40% of increase. So I think it was great. And let's just wait, and so next month we also have numbers from PHP running WordPress. Okay, moving on to the next topic. there is a proposal here about interval comparison. Basically, what is being suggested here is that you somehow have a way to compare a number with an interval, like they suggested that instead of having these two conditions, you could have like just one that looks like this. Since this will complicate the syntax, I think people probably are not very keen to add a specific syntax for comparing with intervals. And I don't know, but I think there will be no advantage, except that you probably just omit this part of the expressions. And well, you type less, but it's not a big deal. I don't know. This, does JavaScript also have these things of comparing intervals?
No, I don't think so. I actually always looking at if statements, I, as a programmer, I look at them as Boolean expressions, and with the first case with AND in the middle is more Boolean logic. It makes more Boolean logic sense to me than the second one. So while scheming for code, reading, it would make more sense to me than a mathematical, more like evaluation of the interval. So yeah, I don't know. Well, I kind of prefer the way it is.
Yeah, I also don't know any other language that supports any syntax for this.
Oh, probably there is.
I think people are getting lazier and lazier. Oh, now I'm going to die to type these extra characters here. because I think in terms of performance, there may not even be any gain. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, the next topic, let me share the screen again here, is about, I don't know if this is too small.
No, it's okay.
It's okay?
Well, I can read it. I don't know if others can, but I can read it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there was also people commenting in the chat that they could not listen, but I hope they can listen now. So if you see other comments while I'm talking about the topics, you can as well help and commenting now. So the next topic is about type locked variables. I mean, variables that once you assign a number or a value, you will not be able to change its type. Like if you assign a string here, you could not assign a different value. There was a discussion, but I think this is not really new because they are revisiting the idea, and this is almost to make it a strict typing language, as in
hack.
No, because I think hack still allows the changing the types.
Really? No, I don't think so. I think actually it's kind of the same, that typing is optional, but when applied, it's strict.
You cannot change the type?
I don't think you can. I'm not 100% sure, but I think, yeah, it's strict type. If you define it, then it's strict. If you don't define it, then it's a weak rules.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I would have to double check. But the idea here is to eventually detect bugs that cause you to assign wrong values to variables. So it's always good, but well, as long as it is optional, it is okay, because it will not break the past code that you written in the past. Yeah, been not very consistent in terms of types. So the next proposal The next topic that we're going to comment is what is planned to be deprecated for PHP 7.2 or PHP 8, we don't know. This proposal was written last year and it is being revised. Here they mentioned PHP 7.2, but I think there is not yet a decision if next version will be PHP 7.2 or PHP 8. We'll have to wait and see. Anyway, what they are planning is to remove the autoload with two underscores. So you would have to register an autoloader with the SPL functions. The PHP error message is also something that we talked before. I think the idea is to remove this variable.
Yeah.
And if you want to get the last error, there is a function for that.
Error get last.
Yeah. Create function. I never use this, but this is old in PHP.
I think it's like evolve, that you evaluate some code or something like that.
Yeah, I think you can create a function from a string.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to define some code at runtime, but I don't know how many people do that. Then there is some multi-byte string function overload. They also want to get rid of that. Parse str with the second argument. I don't know. Sometimes I use this function, but I'm not sure if I pass
parse
the second argument.
Parse string, right?
Yes. It just extracts the arguments. GMP random. I also do not use the GMP, but I understand this is for arbitrary precision. Yeah, arbitrary precision. Math, and probably the random function is not very random, so that may be why they are thinking about this. Anyway, there is also the I don't know what. Oh, this is probably for PHP 6. You would have a string, but you just define the string as binary instead of Unicode. And there is also a proposal to remove each. I don't remember ever using each.
No, me not using that too.
It's probably something with arrays. Assert.
Yeah.
With a string argument. Well, assert is for conditions. So I'm not sure. I also don't use assert. Assert is more to detect eventual bugs. I think nowadays people use exceptions and that's it. Error context argument of error handler. I don't know what is this. I use error handlers to catch errors and log them so I can get them later.
I think it's something for debugging, probably, that when error happens, you can get all the state of the variables or something like that.
No, but there is the debug backtrace. So I don't know. I don't think people may be using this to the point.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Me too. I don't think I have anything on the list on this list that I'm using. So we are good.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you are using these things, consider updating your code. That's what is the message. Because soon they'll be deprecated and then they'll be removed. So the next topic is about function overloading. And the idea is to somehow be able to overload functions in PHP using extensions? Could it be extensions?
I don't know, but typically function overloading is that you have the functions with the same name but accept different parameter size or different count or by different types. But this is an example does not make much sense to me, as we are passing GMP number to an default ABS function. So probably absolute function would not know what to do with GMP number.
It probably wanted to do what you do in JavaScript, that you override variables that are the functions that implemented certain calls. But that is on top of objects, not global functions. JavaScript doesn't have a global function.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyway, there was some discussion. I don't know if this proposal will go anywhere. Another proposal that is being considered with an RFC, so this is more definite, is to improve the array iterator, a function seek key, which adding the function seek key to find place the cursor of iteration in the position of the next element that has a given key value.
Next or current?
Yes, I think that it will start there.
Okay, but I think array iterator iterates both arrays and objects, right? So what about the key and array? So it would not work on arrays, I guess.
Well, in arrays and objects, objects are also hash tables. So when you talk about arrays in PHP, we're talking about hash tables. So
yes, in that sense. So basically, it would be an index instead of key, I guess.
Well, I guess you can call it the way you prefer, but the point is that when you traverse an array or an object somehow, there is an implicit cursor that you use to define what element of the array you are looking at. So seek key would find the next element with a given key value, and the prev would go backwards, but not to a specific not a specific position. I thought there was already next and prev.
There is next, but it seems there is no prev. Yeah.
Maybe not for array iterator, but for arrays, there is always the next and the prev functions. Well, anyway, this is being proposed for PHP 7.2. Let's see what happens after the voting. So the next topic is something related with security. As you may know, PHP can send HTTP requests, some to SSL, and they want to distrust certificates based on SHA-1 hashing algorithm. So this is more to discourage using weak certificates based on weak hashing algorithms. So this is something that probably will not impact any PHP installations, except probably ones that are hold and rely on hold certificates. And okay, I think this is a more security measure that probably will not affect many people. And then we talk about another proposal that is basically allow subclasses that implement functions, inherited functions, with type hinting. So if you already define type hinting in the parent class, you would not need to define any type hinting in the subclass, because it would be redundant.
Well, currently you need, but they won't.
Yeah.
They want to eliminate it.
Right. It is enough to have the parent with that that requirement, that definition of type hinting there. If you define a different type hinting in the subclass, it should throw some exception or something. Probably something, a fatal error when parsing the subclass code. Okay, this is fine. It's not yet in voting, but I think it is something that makes sense. The next topic is just to mention briefly just some of the modern practices in the PDP community that are somehow encouraged or made easier in PHP classes. Now there is a group for PHP 7 only, and if you want to migrate to PHP 7, there is even an article here. So many packages will start to appear that only work on PHP 7, and for that reason there is a group in PHP 7 in PHP classes that has only PHP 7 specific packages. There are not many yet, but there will be more in the future. So that is one hint to encourage more people to work with PHP 7. Also telling that by using PHP 7 with strict type hinting, you be able to catch more bugs eventually, because you pass the wrong types of values to some function or it return the wrong types of values. But you need to keep in mind that you have to use declare strict types equal to 1 in all files that you use. So if you have a script that calls a class in another script, if it does not have the declare strict types in that script that calls the class, it won't there won't be strict type checking, because the idea is that you can still use classes that requires strict typing in code that is not yet prepared to run strict typing. Another thing that is actually, it is not new, is the use of traits. Because traits allows you to paste, sort of pasting code inside classes and implement functionality defined by traits in classes that are not related with that. So now in PHP classes, there is a category totally dedicated to traits, and there are many, many interesting traits. Some are pretty cool. So it provides great reuse even on environments that you can combine functionality that is not related. And another thing that I'm commenting here is that there started to appearing some packages that implement interface defined by PSR are PHP standard recommendations. There's not exactly standards, they are recommendations for something to become widespread. And because of that, in PHP classes, it was created a category just for packages that implement PSR specifications. There are not many yet, just 5 for now, but that is already something. Well, if you go and look to the number of standard packages that implement PSR interfaces, there are not many. In the beginning, the FI group focused more on defining conventions for code style and auto-loading. Only more recently, there appeared some recommendations for interfaces. Over here are listed like 17 recommendations. Many of them are not finalized, so they are being developed. But still, there are already implementations of some of those packages that implement PSR interfaces in PHP classes. And for that, some of them, or practically all of them, were nominated for the Innovation Award precisely because there were no classes before that implemented these interfaces. Well, I know that these things are very old and somewhat inspired in the Java world. I don't know if in JavaScript is there anything similar to this that pushes some specifications for interfaces and
or interoperability between packages and stuff like that.
Yeah, the idea is that, for instance, if you use a package now and for some reason the developer stops working on it, you can have alternatives.
There is maybe something similar in Node.js, like middleware, like Express.js package, for example. When the request comes through the middleware that passes each other all the same arguments, like error, request object, and next function to call to get the next middleware, stuff like that. So there are some standards like this, or the callbacks that usually have error as the first argument and result as the second one. And I think mostly all packages, as I know, in for Node.js use them, so they are like interoperable with each other through those kind of interfaces. But that's like a standard, and I haven't seen it written it in stone anywhere. But the Node.js core developers started using it like that, and everyone got on the same train and started using the same like types of callbacks.
So it's more like a convention rather than a standard.
Yeah.
Recommendation.
Yes.
So nobody, I think there are no interfaces for JavaScript, right?
You just have
prototypes, but the prototypes do not define. I wonder if ECMAScript has anything about the platform. Because now ECMAScript has real classes, right?
Yes.
But you are probably not using it yet, or are you?
Well, we have a debate in the team lately. We started using features in server code in Node.js, but still not using anything on the browser because the support is really, really poor, and like it would be help to try to support something older than Internet Explorer 11 or something like that. But yeah, there are classes in ECMAScript, but I don't think there are anything about interfaces yet. There are JavaScript flavors, so that have much more advanced things. Like I think TypeScript, it's really, really OOP oriented. It probably has interface. I'm not sure, but I think probably it has interfaces because it's quite advanced in that way.
Yeah. Well, so when you say support, it means things are not stable and you don't have anybody to guarantee that they work.
You mean about the browsers?
No, not browsers. I mean Node.js.
No, Node.js.
Oh, you're talking about browsers. Okay.
On server side, we are using the new features because we just recently raised the version that we are using to Node.js 6 and using everything that it supports. There is strictly defined what it supported, and we are controlling which Node.js version we are installing, so there is no problem there. The problem is specifically in the browsers, because we don't know what browser would the end user use.
Yeah, that may be problematic. Just these days, user complained, oh, I cannot access this page. There is an SSL error, since I am migrating most of things to use SSL, I don't know if the person was using some browser that had problems, and the browser was a Safari 10 on iPhone 5. I tried some simulators; it didn't have a problem, so I wonder what was the SSL error that the person got. I don't know. Well, that browsers are always a challenge because you don't control which persons they are. Anyway, just to finish commenting about this article, now in PHP classes, when you submit a package, you are immediately encouraged to use version control. Actually, you are encouraged to use GitHub, because now you can just paste the URL of GitHub and it will automatically import everything with very few or none questions asked.
Not only that, actually, I may add that I'm using this feature myself, and every time I update a package I just need to update it on the GitHub and PHP classes or JS classes, automatically fetches the updates and updates the package, and it's awesome.
Yes, that was something that happened just for already for a while, but what happens now is that you just go on the contribute page and paste the URL. You can either add things in the traditional way, like adding repositories, importing them, or you can just paste the URL of GitHub. Why just GitHub? Because GitHub has an API, and we can fetch things from the API with more details about what are the names of the packages, descriptions, and so on. So you just paste the URL, and it will add the package and immediately import the files. It also guesses the types of the files, because in the past it was required for you to tell if the types are right. Now it just imports them and tries to make good, educated guesses about the types of files. And this is just to minimize the effort, because some people were feeling discouraged to submit packages because it was a bit bureaucratic process. So now we just put a URL of a Git repository, and there you go. At most, in the end, you may want to fix some descriptions, but probably not much more than that. And other than that, as you may notice, when a package is considered notable, now many people get a notice so they can check it out, that package immediately, regardless if it is innovative or not. If it is innovative, great, but it will only be nominated by the end of the month. But if it is notable for doing something considered notable, you will have a greater exposure immediately to the package, because many tens of thousands of users will get a message to check it out, your package. And just to finalize, if you get nominated, you may get an elephant, which is a very disputed prize. And the elephant will be personalized with your name. But this is not news. I just want to call it news. And finally, one thing that people were complaining, there are lots of bad quality packages. And what people sometimes call bad quality packages are packages that use a certain syntax or code formatting that was more common in the past. So now, if you search in PHP classes, it will just it will give priority, at least some weight to packages that have been updated more recently. In search results, you can even see the last time of the last update.
Makes perfect sense.
Yes, although sometimes good packages were not updated for a long time, but they are still good because they are good at what they do, and there may have not been much reason to update them recently.
They would also have a good rating and other stuff that would weight them more, so I think it would even out eventually.
Yeah. Although these stars here are not exactly from ratings, are from relevance. It's the search engine that uses stars to measure the relevance. Anyway, that is basically that what I want to comment. Other than that, some people said, the look and feel of the PHP class is always old, so there was a slight update, mostly on the CSS, to use a more modernized look, whatever this means. This design was implemented by Samuel Adesina, and there are still a few fixes to make, small things. If you notice something that is wrong, please contact the site so I can be aware of things that I may have overlooked. Hello, welcome to the lately in
PHP Innovation Award.
In PHP and JavaScript Innovation Award podcast, we're going to comment as usual about the Innovation Award nominees and winners, starting from those that were nominated, were published in September, then they were nominated in October, then in November the results come out, so we can comment on them. And for JavaScript, we have like four nominees. Arthur Switchens, would you like to comment?
Okay, let's start with JavaScript then. So do you see my screen already?
Yeah, I was looking at the other screen, so I can see now.
Yeah, okay, great. So the first package I wanted to mention is DOM process, and it was developed by doesn't show me the information. Everton de Rosa. So
yeah, he's from Brazil.
Yes. Yeah. Sounds like Brazil. It's actually a simple package that can traverse the DOM elements. You just pass the parent node and two functions, one function which determines if the node should be processed, and other one to actually process it. So I think we had an example here. So you just init it, pass the DOM, the node, as a parent, and then the two functions too.
Yeah,
to do process it or to determine if it's to the process or not. So it's kind of simple package, but if you're not using anything like, I don't know, jQuery and stuff like that, and it's something minimal to do this, then you can reuse it.
Yes, this is more to traverse all the elements of the page and do something useful with them. Sometimes you are searching for something very specific that it's hard to match with a selector. Or maybe you actually want to change something on the nodes.
And Everton got one Audible ebook of choice by O'Reilly for this package. And the second package is Vue Resume, Build Reactive Web User Interfaces. It was developed by Sergey Beskorovaini from Ukraine, and I assume it's something based on Vue framework. Which we have commented something about it in the podcast. They have released the second version. Fortunately, I'm not much familiar with it. Maybe we can check.
This seems to be like an alternative to.
So basically, it's the package that would allow you to build reactive web user interfaces, and in demo, I think. The author shows his own page, which I assume is built in that interface, right? So, single page with sections.
Yeah. Well, it's a more general thing, but it's interesting to see the actual applications that take advantage of that. Okay, on my behalf, I also like to comment on a couple of packages. One is an animated placeholder text.
Sharing, share your screen, please.
Oh, that would be useful. It's always a challenge because we need to find the right window to share. I guess you can see it now. Let me just increase the zoom level here. So, as I was saying, an animated placeholder package. It shows placeholders for text inputs that are animated. So this will help to get the attention. So the actual placeholder text will scroll with a message in it. It's a shame there is no demo this time, but it would be neat to see. But okay, you can imagine how it would work. This one was developed by Gianluca Ferrari from Italy, and for this, he did not want to pick a prize. I remember that he was very happy with being nominated, but he did not need a prize. The other package that I want to comment is NetWF. This is interesting because this makes calls to a database server that takes requests over HTTP, usually through a proxy script like one written in PHP, but could be another language. And this package sends HTTP requests to perform usual CRUD operations, or get fields by value, first, last, previous, next row of a table, execute procedures, and so on. So this is interesting, despite it's very simple. As for the Innovation Award, JavaScript rankings have been kind of steady because not many packages have been submitted, but Basically, still Andrew Spoth is in first place with 6 packages and 22 points, then followed by Dantini Francois with 5 packages and 18 points, Everton De Rosa with 2 packages, 7 points, Juan Jose of Spain with 1 package, 6 points, is tied with Axel Hahn and Farooq Rahim from Bangladesh. Then Carl Holtz from Canada is tied with Afshin Agar and Martin Latter and Evaldo Zimanekolan in 7th place with 5 points on 1 package. By country, it's more or less a mirror, because here we can see that Hungary is in first with 6 packages and 22 points from Andrew Spoth, but France is closer, so it is still, it still has chances to pass Hungary with 6 packages and 21 points. And in third, there is Brazil with 4 packages and 14 points. Germany with 2 packages and 7 points is tied with Mexico, that also has 7 points but 4 packages. Then Spain and Switzerland and Bangladesh are tied with 6 points in 6th place. And finally, Iran and Canada are tied in the 9th place with 5 points. So, regarding the JavaScript Innovation Award, it is all this month. We get back with the nominees of next month. For the PHP Innovation Award, we had like 14 nominees, which is great. Sometimes I wonder, as time passes, if people never run out of creativity and still come with innovative packages. So it still seems to be the case, which is great. So let's wait and see for more packages. But this time we have 14 to comment. Arthur, which ones would you like to comment?
Yeah, it's astonishing how much we have every month here. And the first one I want to comment is PHP form encryption. I think we already commented on it in the blog post tutorial support, but now here goes in PHP awards. Basically, what this package does, it allows you to encrypt data sent from the form to the server without the HTTPS or SSL or TLS and stuff like that. So you can read it in the article how it actually works, about how it determines the keys and uses and sends to each other and all the insecure way. And it was developed by Francisco de la Aguila from Spain. He chose one of the downloadable copy of PHP the Professional for this package.
Which is amazing, because he did not pick the elephant.
Yeah, probably he already have one, no? Mm-hmm. Do you like kind of keep a list of all the members who has elephants?
I do not keep in memory, but I could check. Anyway, well, if he got the first place and did not pick the elephant,
yeah,
you can imagine that the second place picked the elephant. So
we'll check. But for now, I want to jump not to the second place, but some other interesting package.
Oh, okay,
which is Emergen, and it generates icon images for multiple platforms. So if you ever developed a website, which is also mobile friendly, and you want to display it on mobiles, and user may want to like bookmark it, like put a link on the screen, then you need to provide a specific type of icon, for example, yeah, or create in applications, again, there are icons, and so they need to be in so many different sizes that it's hard to keep up. And Alexander Selifonov from Russia provided a class package that would resize, create these icons for you. Basically, it looks up an XML file, which with defined icon types and sizes, And the general exam, I don't think there is usage example.
Yeah, it's useful for people that want to use optimized icons, not just for web applications, but also those that access them via mobile browsers.
Yeah, I see. You can also specify third-party commands to use third-party tools, which is also great here. And Alexander got to source guarding PHP encoder tool for his Morgen package.
Okay, on my behalf, I also would like to comment on a bunch of packages. Starting with a couple that is very interesting, so let me share the screen here. It's probably not large enough. Let me increase the font here. So, this package called IT Logger is one of those that I mentioned before in the PHP podcast that implements a PSR interface in the case of logging. So there are PSR interfaces that define different functionality, and PSR3 is for logging. So Kirill Savchev from Bulgaria implemented this package precisely to implement a logger that is based on this PSR3 interface. So any package that wants to perform logging operations, if it relies on the PSR3 interface, it can use this package or any other package that implements the same interface. That's the advantage of having interfaces that are generally adopted. So for this package, Kirill got one book of choice by PACT. The next package that I want to comment, it was also one that I need to ask the author what it did, because I didn't know there was another PSR specification. Well, at the time of the publication, the package, I think the PSR specification was not yet defined, but basically what it allows it to implement dependency injection containers. So since they implement the same interface, you can, for instance, call services from Cake PHP to from Zend applications or vice versa. So this package in particular implements a generic dependency injection container. Sorry, it implements a Zend service manager that can be used as a Cake PHP service. So if you have a Cake PHP application, you can call services implemented by Zend packages. So this package was implemented by Nerijus from Lithuania, and he, as prize, he asked for a Live Coding TV subscription pro account. So I hope he is enjoying his subscription. Let's take a look at the current rankings of the Innovation Award 2016. And so far, Christian Wieg is leading with a great advantage with 9 packages and 76 points, followed by Johnny Maas from Netherlands with 3 packages and 41 points, and then Luciano Salvini with 4 packages and 40 points. Then Bharat Parmar from India with 3 packages and 34 points. Dave Smith from the United States with 4 packages and 32 points is in 5th. Alexei Nemir from Russia with 2 packages and 27 points is in 6th. Jeremiah Ogbomo from Nigeria with 2 packages and 26 points is in 7th. Kasper Rinsky is in 8th. with 2 packets and 24 points. Lars Molleken and Bruno Henrique Ferreira de Oliveira from Brazil are tied in 9th place with 21 points. By countries, the competition is still not yet defined, because there are at least 3 countries that are very close. France in first place is with 13 packages and 111 points. United States with 14 packages, 103 points. Then Brazil with 9 packages and 100 points is in third. Then in fourth, Russia with 9 packages, 75 points. India with 6 packages and 66 points. Netherlands with 4 packages and 55 points. Spain with 6 packages and 54 points is tied with Argentina. And then Nigeria with 4 packages and 39 points is followed by Italy with 4 packages and 36 points. Well, with this, you practically ended this edition of the Lettering in PHP podcast. This will be the last one of 2016. Hope to see you in 2017. And have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. But we still have to record the one about the Innovation Award and the latest PHP article. So, if you are watching this on live coding, hang on in there. To get back in a moment. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.